Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases 34. Ector County negative 266 out of 397 tested with 97 pending. One death. Midland County 30 confirmed out of 673 tested. One death. Texas 9,353 confirmed with 96,258 tested. Total Texas deaths, 177. U.S. cases, 395,011 total confirmed and 12,754 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Show support. Starting today, City of Odessa officials are encouraging Odessa residents to step outside their homes and clap or honk their horns, bang on pots and pans, to thank healthcare professionals, first responders, and all other essential workers. Also, snap a picture or a video and use hashtag ClapBecauseWeCare. Easter kits. The bridge, 3901 East Yukon Road, has scheduled Maundy Thursday drive through communion and pick your kids up an Easter kit from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. Easter kits include candy-filled eggs, Easter craft, Easter photo scavenger hunt. Easter kits include candy-filled eggs, Easter craft, Easter photo scavenger hunt, and Easter talking points. Call 363-0900 or visit thebridgeodessa.org. Drive up Easter. The Calvary Cross on Highway 191 between Odessa and Midland will host an Easter sunrise service by St. Andrew Cumberland Presbyterian Church at 7:30 a.m. Sunday and will be broadcast live by My Country 96.1 FM. The service at the cross is open to the public and will be conducted in accordance with social distancing guidelines. All attendees will remain inside their vehicles and listen to the sunrise service from 96.1 FM at 7:30 a.m. The station is locally owned and is broadcasting the service without any charge to the church. Wells Fargo dollar sign. Wells Fargo Foundation will donate a total of $57,500 to Family Promise of Midland, Texas, Incorporated, United Way Midland, United Way of Odessa, Incorporated, and Casa de Amigos of Midland to support the community response to COVID-19 in Midland, Odessa. The funding will help deliver critical relief by providing these organizations with more support to address food, shelter, and basic needs. This donation is part of the $175 million in additional aid Wells Fargo announced in March to help address food, shelter, small business, and housing stability, as well as provide help to public health organizations. City offices closure. The City of Odessa offices will be closed Friday in observance of Good Friday. Trash will not be picked up on Friday. The Household Hazardous Waste Facility will be closed on Friday and Saturday. To avoid an overflowing accumulation of trash and debris in dumpsters, citizens are asked to recycle items at the Odessa Recycle Center, 816 West 42nd Street. drop off windows for cardboard, plastic, paper, aluminum, and tin cans are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit www.odessa-tx.gov/residents/recycling-center for complete recycling information. Trash, debris, and bulky items piled next to the alley dumpsters is illegal and prevents the solid waste trucks from being able to pick up the containers when service resumes. During the holiday period, city trash receptacles should be reserved for perishable items only. Mask donation. Mohammed Wahid with Valero recently donated several hundred N95 face masks to the Odessa Police Department. Courtesy photo. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 9th, 2020. Page 2, read. UTPB food pantry still available. OANews@OAOA.com. University of Texas Permian Basin facilities may be physically closed, but the food pantry is still open by appointment. Director of Student Life Adrian Lodge said if there is a student on campus who wishes to use the pantry, they can email her office at studentlife@utpb.edu and they will coordinate access for the student. We are also able to provide to-go bags if we have students that aren't able to make it in. It's a little bit different in terms of access. It's not open hours or things like that. But we are still able to assist our students who do have a food need currently by providing what we have in the pantry, Lodge said. The pantry, she said, is still working from a large donation it received from the UTPB STEM Academy a couple of months ago. But they also partner with the West Texas Food Bank and can get food through them as well. Part of the proceeds from Falcon Giving Day, April 8th, were going to go to the pantry. We are open for donations. If anyone wants to coordinate a donation, they can do the same thing by emailing our office, Lodge said. There's a lot of people with food insecurity right now and a need right now, so we're all just doing our best to be able to provide what's needed. Deliveries can be made if someone is sick. We really, at this point, are open to anything that we need to do to provide to our students in need, so it looks a little different, but we're doing everything that we can do to make sure that students have food. We are still accessible. So if we get a request from a student or someone, I will come up here to open the pantry and to create a to-go bag or whatever needs to be done, Lodge said. As for student life, Lodge said some different programming is being considered, and the office is trying to stay connected with students and helping students stay connected with each other. There are some programs and things that we had coming up on the calendar that we will be able to hopefully move online, and we are working through those right now. We are also working through additional online options that weren't necessarily on the calendar before, but we are working to provide engagement opportunities to keep our students connected and provide the same type of entertainment that we would if they were here on campus. We are working on ways to provide that for our students, and we are communicating with them, and hopefully more to come. We do have some events tentatively on the calendar, and again, things we are adding. Ben Powell, Odessa American. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 9th, 2020, local and state. Graduation Still Being Mulled by Ruth Campbell. rcampbell@oaoa.com. Ector County ISD officials are still figuring out how to handle the milestone of graduation this spring in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Superintendent Scott Murray said he had a virtual meeting April 3rd with a group of juniors and seniors. He said they will likely not graduate in the traditional sense. Their ask of the system is that we in some way figure out how to hold a traditional graduation in the future. So if we're not able to do it in May, we do it at some time at the end of the summer, or maybe in December, or maybe next year. We talked about what an opportunity may look like for kids, but they're interested in having a traditional ceremony someday, and so we're going to talk about that internally, if that's something we're going to be able to do for them. But I certainly hope that we can. I think they deserve it, Murray said. He noted that the students have to have a diploma if they're moving on to college or they are going to get a job. We will provide some type of opportunity. If it's not the traditional ceremony, we'll do something to recognize and honor our kids. While there was strategic planning, middle school redesign, and curriculum tweaking going on before the pandemic struck, the main focus right now has been to stand up and effectively operate remote school, Murray said. That's where the predominance of our energy has been spent over the last several weeks, and it will continue to be focused in that area because it's so new for us. In addition to that, we also recognize that we have to pay attention to the 2021 school year and beyond, he added. He said the strategic plan, which is work for the next 5 years, will be forthcoming, but now's not the time. The lack of students in school buildings has allowed ECISD to catch up on maintenance. We've dispatched some of our maintenance employees. If they're able to work by themselves on some of those projects are continuing. Our custodians continue to clean the facilities. All of our facilities are used 5 days a week, but not by a full staff or a group of students, so we have minimal use of some facilities, and a minimal number of custodians are there to make sure the facilities are taken care of and address any concerns, Murray said. The cleaning is critically important right now because of the virus, so we've got to make sure things are clean for the folks that are working there, he added. Asked about a reduction in workforce, Murray said the district is not looking at that. We're good through the 30th of June, and we are continuing as we have. We are filling certain vacancies. We are filling certain roles in our district. So that type of hiring continues. We have a dearth of teachers. We are continuing to hire teachers in many of those critical shortage areas that we have, Murray said. Currently, a big focus of professional development is bringing teachers up to speed and equipping them for remote teaching. Remote teaching is very different from what most of our teachers are accustomed to. So there's a lot of professional development, a lot of learning happening all over our system right now to adapt to this new normal, Murray said. During the summer, that learning will continue for teachers and students, he added. Part of being an educator is being a lifelong learner, and learning we will continue throughout the summer. Learning will continue for kids. We'll continue to do some exciting things for kids during the summer that may look different from your traditional summer camp, but we'll continue to provide learning for them and certainly for staff members, Murray said. The first virtual ECISD School Board of Trustees meeting will be at 6 p.m. April 14th. We're excited about that opportunity, Murray said. We're going to use a software application. We'll be sending that information out this week, and we will invite the public to join us for that virtual board meeting. Kind of something new for us. UTPB extends online classes into summer. OA News at OAOA.com. The University of Texas Permian Basin has decided to extend online courses through the summer semesters. Everyone will be happy when we can safely bring students back to campus as we miss them so much. In the meantime, our students will not miss a beat in their pursuit of academic progress at UTPB. We are committed to the highest quality online experience this summer for our students, UT Permian Basin President Sandra Woodley stated in a news release. Historically, the delivery of summer classes at UTPB has happened primarily online. The faculty will continue to provide resources like advising, tutoring, technology assistance, and mentoring to our students, the release said. We have excellent offerings this summer. Our amazing faculty will work hard to transition classes so they can be offered remotely. Our goal is to ensure that there are no barriers to their academic progress. As always, my team stands ready to assist students with any issues that arise, Dean of Student Success Michael Frawley stated in the release. The UTPB campus remains closed to the public. However, all business and academic work remain fully functional, often with expanded hours of remote access service. The university will continue to assist the public via phone, email, and virtual meetings. City Council passes emergency Perryman study. Hamilton resignation also accepted by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. During Tuesday's virtual City Council work session, council members accepted often embattled Councilman Malcolm Hamilton's resignation and agreed to fund a $127,200 study by Ray Perryman about preserving the Permian Basin energy sector structure and the Odessa economy through the COVID-19 crisis and oil supply challenges. Hamilton announced his resignation at the end of the last regular council meeting. His exit leaves his seat open through the end of the year, as he would have been up for re-election in November. The Perryman study would evaluate and assess the current issues going on in Odessa and the region, such as job losses, economic hardship, and vulnerabilities by the industrial sector. Obviously, the goal of this portion, Odessa Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Director Wesley Burnett said, will be to identify the actions that we can take to alleviate, hopefully, some of the most difficult problems. Burnett said this is a tool for ODC in the community to disseminate the information to Austin as well as Washington, D.C. The council did not agree to authorize Mayor David Turner to negotiate and execute an agreement to approve use of ODC funds for COVID-19 supply sourcing and manufacturing related infrastructure-based projects, as well as to provide COVID-19 related assistance. Odessa City Attorney Natasha Brooks said that if the council agreed, it would keep the council from calling an emergency meeting each time an item needed to be negotiated. At-large council member Peggy Dean said she is a proponent of the study and that she knows that there is a need to work quickly, but said it's important that the council know what ODC is doing and that the council get to understand and vote on what it is that they're doing. I'm not going to feel comfortable if you can just do these things and we don't really know about them, she said. I think we can meet almost as quickly as the law lets us. She said the need to stay informed is greater than it's ever been. I don't think we need to circumvent every procedure we have. I think they just need to be expedited. When asked what expedited meant, Dean said that it related to the online meetings. City Council approved the Perryman study unanimously, but did not approve the other COVID-19 related projects. Odessa Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Director Wesley Burnett said items to be funded include a couple of businesses manufacturing COVID-19 equipment and also possibly putting up temporary towers for Wi-Fi in underserved parts of the community until a permanent tower could be installed. What we've done specifically is talk about the job retention aspect of this, as far as the company being able to put their workforce in place again, or continue to use their workforce to manufacture things specifically for COVID-19. He said that they also talked about businesses working on making ventilator splitters. We're talking, honestly, a couple million dollars for those as far as the costs go, he said. Burnett also spoke about the need for the Perryman study. On Hamilton's resignation, the council also passed their decision to fill the District 1 vacancy unanimously. In a press release Wednesday, the city invited any interested residents from District 1 to submit their name for consideration of appointment until November 2020. The council will accept applications until 5 p.m. April 20th. Applicants must be a U.S. citizen, 18 years or older, and must not have been convicted of a felony. They must have also lived in the state of Texas continuously for 12 months and in District 1 for 6 months. They also must have been registered to vote in the district for 6 months. They also must not be determined totally or partially mentally incapacitated by final judgment of a court. Interviews will be during a council work session at 10 a.m. on April 21st, and the appointment will be during a city council meeting at 6 p.m. on April 28th. Applications will be available through the city secretary's office. If interested, people can contact the city secretary at cs@odessa-tx.gov or 335-3276 for information and the application. Woman charged with impersonating peace officer to buy liquor after hours. OANews@OAOA.com. A woman reportedly claimed she was an undercover cop to buy a bottle of Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey at a liquor store after hours. Edna Galindo Rodriguez, 53, was charged with impersonating a public servant, a third-degree felony. On March 18th, the Odessa Police Department responded to Pinky's Liquor Store, located at 3981 North JBS Parkway, an OPD affidavit detailed. The store manager stated at 9 p.m. March 17th, after the business closed in accordance with state law. A woman, later identified as Rodriguez, reportedly began knocking on the locked door, and the manager stated to Rodriguez that it was after 9 p.m. and they could no longer sell alcohol. The store manager stated that Rodriguez attempted to argue and stated she was police and showed a police badge that was enclosed in a black-colored badge holder with an attached chain, the affidavit stated. The badge appeared to be consistent to a badge worn by a certified peace officer. Rodriguez reportedly told the store manager that she was an undercover cop. Rodriguez coerced her way to buy a bottle of Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. She left the store in a white four-door sedan. At 3:16 p.m., March 24th, officers returned to the store after management reported that Rodriguez came back to buy another bottle of Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey without incident. The affidavit detailed Rodriguez left the store in a white 2014 Ford sedan, which was registered to Edna Rodriguez Valles. Officers reportedly contacted Rodriguez's ex-spouse, who stated that Rodriguez was a licensed security guard and licensed private investigator. Rodriguez has two badges and commonly wears them on a lanyard around her neck. Rodriguez's ex-spouse saw screenshots of video surveillance footage and confirmed that the woman in the footage was Rodriguez. Rodriguez's public Facebook profile showed several photos of her holding a gold-colored badge that could easily be depicted as a law enforcement badge, the affidavit stated. Rodriguez was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. She had one bond totaling $15,000, and she posted bail on Saturday, jail records show. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 9th, 2020. Obituaries and death notices. Obituaries. Sharon Wilson, Lubbock. A celebration of the life of Sharon Wilson, 76, of Lubbock, Texas, will be 2 p.m. Saturday, April 11th, 2020, with Dr. Shara Atkinson officiating. Services will be private for immediate family, but all others are to share in this celebration on her tribute page at www.sandersfuneralhome.com. Her family will have public celebration of her life at a later date. Sharon passed away April 7th, 2020. Darla Sharon was born August 10th, 1943, in Lubbock, Texas, to Ernest and Ava Duckworth. She graduated from Monterey High School in 1961 and attended Texas Tech University. She was the election administrator for Ector County from August 1987 until September 2004. During that time, she was instrumental in the revitalization of downtown Odessa. She was preceded in death by her parents and sister, Belle Duckworth. Loved ones include son Jason Wilson and wife Michelle, son Jeff Wilson and wife Marta, daughter Angela Hawkins, sister Trudy Gamble, grandchildren Haley Hawkins, Dallas Wilson, and Ava Wilson, and her Gamble kids. Memorials are suggested to Meals on Wheels of Lubbock or FUMC Treasured Times. Sharon will always be remembered for her love of God, her unconditional love for family and friends, quick wit, and sassiness. Her raised eyebrow said it all. Nell Brown Waldrop, Odessa. Nell Brown Waldrop, February 6th, 1935 to April 6th, 2020, age 85. Nell Brown Waldrop joined her Heavenly Father on Monday, April 6th, 2020, after a lengthy illness. Nell was born on February 6th, 1935, in Ira Ann, Texas, to Thomas James Oliver and Jesse Jewel Wise Oliver. Nell grew up in Grand Falls, Texas, and graduated from Grand Falls High School. Nell has lived in San Diego, California, Guam, and spent most of her life in Odessa, Texas. Nell married her beloved husband, David, in 1981. Nell was a member of First Baptist Church in Odessa, where she volunteered and loved every moment. Favorite scripture, John 3:16. Nell's hobbies included reading, gardening, and traveling. She was preceded in death by her husband, David Waldrop, her parents, brother Junior Oliver, sister Jo Kraft, and one grandchild, Lindy Brown. Nell is survived by her two sons, Jay Brown, Lisa, of Arlington, Texas, John Brown, Lori, of Odessa, stepdaughter Vicky Vickers Sorrells, Tom, of Odessa, four grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. Due to COVID-19, there will be a private burial. Memorial services will be held at a later date to be determined. As an expression of sympathy, please consider a memorial donation to Humane Society of Odessa, Home Hospice, or Mission Odessa in Odessa, Texas. Death notices. Mario Alberto Arroyo, Odessa. Mario Alberto Arroyo, 69, of Odessa, died Monday, April 6th, 2020, in Odessa. Chapel service is scheduled for 4 p.m. Friday, April 10th, 2020, at Acres West 24-hour Funeral Chapel, and visitation will continue from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, April 11th, 2020. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Augustine Diaz Duarte, Amarillo. Augustine Diaz Duarte, 89, of Odessa, died Monday, April 6th, 2020, in Amarillo. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Roger Lee Freitag, Odessa. Roger Lee Freitag, spelled F-R-E-I-T-A-G, 51, of Odessa, died Sunday, April 5th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled to be held for 10 a.m., Monday, April 13th, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery. Mike Bartlett is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Nancy Lee Grissom, Odessa. Nancy Lee Grissom, 75, of Odessa, died Sunday, April 5th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Catherine Randall, Odessa. Catherine Randall, 84, of Odessa, died Tuesday, February 18th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, April 8, 2020. Health and Wellness. Coronavirus offers crash course on stress, anxiety. Trey Atwater, Midland Health. During the COVID-19 outbreak, the best thing we can do to support our community is respect our leaders and follow recommended social distancing measures. In doing so, it sometimes feels like we have turned all our lives upside down and backward. We have all dealt with stress and life obstacles before, but not quite like this. If we have never before dealt with our own mental strengths and weaknesses in such an intimate way as being isolated for weeks on end, the current situation is about to give us a personal crash course on anxiety, stress, depression, and isolation. But not to fear, leaders of healthy minds are going to continue to offer tips as we go through this together. Here are several steps you can take to prevent this stressful time from derailing your mental health. Maintain a routine. Take reasonable precautions, but don't obsess over the virus. Find ways to keep your body moving. Be okay with having a hard time sleeping. It will get better. Make mealtimes consistent and mandatory for everyone. Follow your regular health treatment schedule. Learn mindfulness and acceptance, then practice them in your everyday routine. Try something new as a family. Help your neighbors weather the storm by being a good example. Be respectful and kind in all you do. As participants, advocates, and contributors to the mental health of Midland, we will be giving weekly tips and a more in-depth picture of what these mental health protections may look like in your household in the coming weeks of isolation. In retrospect, we may find ourselves to have become better individuals even after facing such a scare. Let's just take this one easy step at a time. It's going to be a challenge, but we can and will get through this together. More information and tips on keeping a healthy mind can be found on the Healthy Minds website at midlandbhi.org. Trey Atwater is manager of operations at Healthy Minds. Study. Virus Hasn't Hit U.S. Kids as Hard as Adults, by Brittany Shamas, Washington Post. The coronavirus has not hit children as hard as adults, preliminary data from the United States suggests, supporting earlier reports of what appears to be a mysterious saving grace of the deepening pandemic. In its first report analyzing the virus's effect on American children, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that pediatric cases accounted for just under 2% of confirmed U.S. cases. Its research also suggested that patients younger than 18 developed fevers or coughs less often than older counterparts and were less likely to require hospitalization, though serious illness has occurred in some children. The CDC said its findings seemed to support an earlier study on pediatric cases in China, which found that COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus, might be less severe in children. The CDC researchers cautioned, however, that the information was incomplete and that severe cases have been reported among some people younger than 18, including 3 deaths that remain under investigation. Although most cases reported among children to date have not been severe, clinicians should maintain a high index of suspicion for COVID-19 infection in children and monitor for progression of illness, particularly among infants and children with underlying conditions, the CDC report said. The coronavirus's less severe manifestations in children have been an enduring mystery. Solving it could lead major progress in understanding how and why the virus sickens and kills those in other age groups, scientists say. The study analyzed 149,082 cases reported to the CDC from all 50 states, the District of Columbia, New York City, and 4 U.S. territories between February 12 and Thursday. Of those, 2,752, or 1.7%, involved children younger than 18, while 113,985 involved adults ages 18 to 64. Those over 64 were left out of the analysis because the illness is more severe for people in that age group, the report said. Infants accounted for 15% of pediatric cases, but were underrepresented among cases in patients of all ages. The CDC received its first report of a case involving a child on March 2. Since March 5, it said, pediatric cases have been reported daily. Among the 2,752 pediatric cases, the median age was 11. Nearly a third of those cases involved children ages 15 to 17. 27% were among those ages 10 to 14. 15% were among those ages 5 to 9. 11% were among those ages 1 to 4, and 15% were among those under 1. Data on symptoms, underlying conditions, and hospitalization status was available in a small portion of cases, meaning the results must be interpreted with caution, the report warned. In the 291 pediatric cases for which data was available, 73% had a fever, cough, and shortness of breath. That number was significantly higher among the 10,944 adult cases for which data was available at 93%. Other symptoms, including muscle pain, sore throat, headache, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, and diarrhea, were more commonly reported in adults. Runny noses, meanwhile, were slightly more prevalent among children. In the 745 pediatric cases for which hospitalization status was available, 147 were hospitalized and 15 admitted to intensive care. That number represents a hospitalization rate of 5.7% to 20% and an ICU admission rate of 0.58% to 2%. By comparison, the study said, 10% to 33% of infected adults were hospitalized and 1.4% to 4.5% were placed under intensive care. 3 deaths were reported among the pediatric cases included in this analysis. However, review of these cases is ongoing to confirm COVID-19 as the likely cause of death, the study said. It noted that the findings were largely consistent with the report out of China, which found that 41.5% of 1,391 pediatric patients had fever, 48.5% had a cough, and 1.8% were admitted to an ICU. A later study of 2,143 pediatric cases in China suggested that the infection might be more severe among infants. Released last month in the journal Pediatrics, it found 7 infants and 2 preschoolers between the ages of 1 and 5 whose conditions were considered critical. Another 33 infants and 34 children between 1 and 5 years old developed severe illness. The researchers wrote in the study that their findings suggested that young children, particularly infants, were vulnerable. In its new report, the CDC found that infants made up 59 of the 147 pediatric hospitalizations and 5 of the 15 pediatric ICU admissions, but it noted that most reported U.S. cases in infants had unknown hospitalization status. More systematic and detailed collection of underlying condition data among pediatric patients would be helpful to understand which children might be at highest risk for severe COVID-19 illness, the report said. Although most cases reported among children have not been severe, the CDC stressed that those with mild symptoms or asymptomatic cases are likely playing a part in the spread of the virus, which had infected 362,170 people and killed 10,752 in the United States as of Monday. Because of that, the report said, social distancing and everyday preventative actions continue to be recommended for persons of all ages. Fashion Professor Designs DIY Face Mask by Robin Givhan. Washington Post. President Donald Trump announced Friday that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now recommends people in the United States wear face coverings in public to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. The additional public health measure is not a substitute for social distancing, but is mainly to prevent those who have the virus and might not know it from spreading it to others. The Washington Post talked to Grace Jun, assistant professor of fashion at the Parsons School of Design and chief executive of Open Style Lab, who designed this face mask sewing pattern after consulting with the New York City Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities and the NYU Langone Medical Center. This pattern is designed to be sewn with a machine, but it can be hand-sewn. In making this pattern, June used a tightly woven quilting cotton fabric, or a cotton fabric with a high thread count, usually more expensive, such as Egyptian cotton. A 2003 study published in the journal Disaster Medicine and Public Health Preparedness found that well-fitting, homemade masks made of cotton t-shirts provide some protection from droplet transmissions, the method by which the coronavirus is spread. June has also designed a companion mask made of vinyl, which would make it easy to wipe down and disinfect. The see-through vinyl would also leave the mouth visible when communicating with someone who's hearing impaired. Tools: fabric scissors or a rotary cutter, ruler or ruler tape, pins or clips, sewing machine, thread, polyester works well for extra strength, iron or heavy books. Optional: safety pin. Materials: 2 pieces of 12-inch long and 7.25-inch wide 100% cotton fabric, tight weave cotton or quilted cotton. If possible, use 2 colors to indicate the mask inside and outside. 1 piece of 12-inch long and 7.25-inch wide interfacing or lightweight, breathable, stiff fabric. 14 yards of 1/8-inch flat elastic, stretch on or additional fabric for ties. Instructions. Step 1. Cut your pieces and mark stitch lines. Cut 3 fabric rectangles 12 inches long and 7.5 inches wide. 2 cotton fabric pieces, 1 interface piece. Stack the fabric. The top layer should be a thicker quilted cotton, the middle layer should be the interface piece, and the last layer underneath should be a softer cotton. Trace all of the pattern lines on the top layer of fabric. Cut along the solid line through all 3 layers so you have 3 pieces of equal size. Cut 2 pieces of elastic, each at least 7 inches or longer to allow for an adjustable fit. Step 2. Stitch the darts. Fold your fabric stack in half with the thicker top layer on the inside so you are stitching your triangular darts on the inside layer. Clip or pin together. Stitch 1 1/2-inch dart on what will become the top of your mask for your nose. Stitch another 3/4-inch dart on the other side for the chin. Note that these can be adjusted to be smaller or larger to fit the wearer. You can cut the darts open or press them flat. Step 3. Stitch the zigzag curved lines. Sew along the curved dotted stitch lines with a zigzag stitch. Step 4. Stitch the top and bottom outside edges. Fold the top and bottom edges, long sides of the mask, toward the inside along the marked seam allowance, and press and pin or clip. Stitch on top of the fold to close. This will leave a raw edge. You can finish your edges before sewing to finish if desired. Step 5. Stitch the zigzag horizontal lines. Sew along the horizontal dotted stitch lines with a zigzag stitch. Step 6. Attach elastic straps to mask. Fold the edges of your fabric tabs over 1/2 inch or more. Stitch 1/4 inch from the edge to create a tunnel for the elastic. Feed the elastic through the tunnel. A safety pin attached to one end will help with threading. Try on and adjust the length as needed. Stitch or tie the ends of the elastic together.
Effects of caffeine. Dear Dr. Roach, I am very sensitive to caffeine. I usually have 2 cups of coffee in the morning, but don't consume anything with caffeine in it after about noon. If I do drink tea or soda or eat chocolate after that time, I'll be wide awake and my heartbeat will be racing by 2 a.m. Is there anything that I can take to counteract this effect of caffeine? B.H. Answer. People differ widely in their ability to metabolize caffeine. Some people have minimal effects from large amounts of coffee, but others, like you, are much more sensitive. This may have to do with different types of detoxifying enzymes, especially CYP1A2 in the liver, but this is only part of the approximately 40-fold difference in caffeine sensitivity among individuals. In theory, substances that enhance the activity of the enzyme CYP1A2 should help metabolize caffeine faster. Cruciferous vegetables like broccoli or Brussels sprouts do so, but I'm not sure how clinically relevant that effect is. You can always switch to decaffeinated coffee, tea, or mix caffeinated and decaf to the amount of caffeine you want. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, Mom is caught in the middle between Dad, adult children. Dear Abby, my husband wants me to stop speaking to our adult children. He says they have both offended him and he wants an apology from them. My daughter didn't help him when he was out of the home for a few months and had nowhere to go. At the time, she was living in her boyfriend's grandparents' home. She had asked them if it was okay, but they said no. My husband was hurt by this and wants her to apologize for treating him this way. They no longer speak to each other and had exchanged hurtful texts until my daughter blocked him. My son, who just turned 18, is in college. He came home for a break and asked if he could stay with his girlfriend. I said yes. When my husband found out, he ordered our son to come home. My son pulled the, "I'm 18, you can't tell me what to do." He then said, our family crisis was causing his girlfriend to have anxiety and depression. This upset my husband because he felt he was being blamed for her issues and disrespected when my son refused to come home. My husband feels I should stop speaking to him too. to support him. I cannot bring myself to do this. My husband says our marriage is over if I can't support him. What would you do? In a family mess. Dear Miss, your husband is a handful. With his authoritarian attitude, he cannot seem to stop himself from alienating family members. He is acting like a bullying child. Right now, he is 2 for 2 and counting. I do not think you should stop talking to your daughter for things beyond her control or for telling the truth. If you have any power at all in your marriage relationship, please insist that all of you get family counseling from a licensed professional. Your husband needs to learn to communicate more effectively with his son. If your husband refuses to participate, and he may, then you have some important decisions about your future that I cannot make for you. Dear Abby, my younger sister died 2 years ago. She was only 43. She left behind her husband of 19 years, 3 children, my parents, and myself, along with many other family members and friends. Her choice was to be cremated. As a family, we discussed my brother-in-law's plans for the ashes. He discussed various options, and we, of course, shared our desires and wishes. Her ashes remained in the cardboard box from the funeral home on a shelf in his living room until my brother-in-law moved into a new place a year later. My mother finally confronted him. She said it was disrespectful not to have finalized a resting place for her daughter. She said she knew the ashes belonged to him because he's the husband. His response was he was sorry she felt that way. Now we don't know what he's done with them. He became engaged 15 months after my sister's death and has been living with his fiancée. This seems so wrong to me and so dismissive of my sister and my family. What can we do? We want a final resting place for her. We think his actions show he obviously doesn't care. Disillusioned and heartbroken. Dear D&H, that's not necessarily true. Your former brother-in-law may care so much about his late wife that he cannot let the ashes go. I hope you will maintain contact with him because it's a way to keep track of those ashes.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5, dynamic. 4, positive. 3, average. 2, so-so. 1, difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aries and a moon in Scorpio. Happy birthday for Thursday, April 9, 2020. Give yourself the gift of a day off this year. You are so driven that you need this for your health. In fact, you may receive an award or great recognition. Finances can take a roller coaster ride. Be patient. In the long run, you will do well. If single, a desirable relationship grows. Partners make plans involving you. If attached, set the mood for blissful interludes. Intimacy only increases. Taurus loves your love nest. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Opportunities arise related to a financial venture. Your ability to earn money and sense of quality living are important to you. Stealthily creep toward this financial venture rather than grasping it immediately. This gives you more power today. Tonight, as you like it. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Your personality and appearance shine today, especially if that's the way you see yourself. It is an excellent day to have professional meetings. Be immaculate, and you will get what you ask for. You are physically powerful. Tonight, date night. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Be understanding and avoid confrontations. Diplomacy wins the way. Focus on making people happy, but don't spread yourself too thin. You will hear good health news. Share with your community far and wide who love you. Tonight, cozy domestic night in. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. Spend some time with children or animals today. It is essential to regain your sense of play. It has been a trying time, and you have been getting in touch with real feelings. You are a survivor in an emergency. Tonight, take the night off. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 2 stars. Control issues might arise. Forgive and forget. Be aware of things coming up from the past and to family. It is all about transformation, growth, and change. You feel ready for a new scene. Do not go to extremes. Tonight, plot your move. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 2 stars. You would like to be running around, taking care of chores in your everyday world. But the world is different, so instead you can expect an invitation from a sibling or neighbor. Control your emotions when expressing opinions. Tonight, people see differently. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 2 stars. Maintain your balance and avoid conflicts. You feel a stronger willingness to give up things that you no longer need. It might be outdated personal belongings or even people who are no longer compatible. Change is stressful. Plan your actions. Tonight, healing bath. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. You are especially interested in pursuing cultural and artistic endeavors in your home. You shine today as you make calls about this. Your energy is powerful. Utilize this in your life to get what you want. Tonight, go somewhere special. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. You expand your horizons today. You are feeling restless and sending text messages to friends and associates to pass the time. You get a genius message across. It is astoundingly lucky. Tonight, listen to your loved one go on about something. A family member. Tonight, count on being available and needed. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. You find strength in numbers and meaning through friends and groups today. You work for the common good, but keep an eye on your own wishes and dreams. Social consciousness plays a role. Organizational activities and social events are highlighted. Tonight, attend an event. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Professional concerns are your focus today. Your life is more public now, so avoid emotional displays. You receive a boost in prestige. The spotlight is on cooperation. Show your appreciation to others. Tonight, host a small and intimate dinner of colleagues. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. You are especially sensitive and intuitive today. Use the day for reflection and concluding projects. Accept what comes your way and do not start anything new. It is all part of a cycle. Strive for universal appeal. Tonight, be gentle with yourself. Born today, publisher Hugh Hefner, 1926, actor Dennis Quaid, 1954, actress Kristen Stewart, 1990.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.